Good evening, good evening. How y'all doing tonight? How y'all doing tonight? Very good. Let's get on our knees. Want to say hello to everybody online in East County, North County, and also all the people on our microsites out in watching all over the town. We have what we call microsites, which are screens and speakers that we set up outside in the parking lot, downtown, in laundromats. They'll buy a whole laundromat, like 68 washes and dries, and pay for everybody's laundry. They come in and get free laundry, and they watch the service. And so we're doing all that kind of stuff around town. Amen. It costs $68 to buy out the whole laundromat, so you can come in and get your free laundry, and then you watch the service. So I don't know. They got a few places there tonight, so God bless y'all. How y'all doing? Y'all ready? Lord, thank you. Thank you for being good to us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the amazing work you did in people's lives this morning and early today. And Lord, we pray that you would set people free tonight. Satan, we acknowledge your presence and we acknowledge your weakness in the eyes of the authority that Christ has given us. So with that authority that Christ has given us, we command you out. We expel you out. We rebuke you out of this meeting, out of our hearts and our minds. We bind you in Jesus' name. We muzzle you in Jesus' name. I pray for my home right now, and I pray that you bring your peace on my house and comfort my family. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd ask you to pray for my family. God knows what that means, so I appreciate it. Let's see your Bibles. Let's see your Bibles. Say word. Very good. Turn to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. First book, third chapter. Someone say, Jesus.
Jesus.
Very good, very good. Last summer, I was in Costa Rica learning Spanish. Hace siete meses estaba en Costa Rica aprendiendo español. Durante mi tiempo en Costa Rica, le pregunté a mi maestra, ¿cómo se dice girlfriend en español? mi maestro me dijo, novia. That's novia. So if you say, how do you say girlfriend in Spanish? You say novia. Everyone say novia. Le pregunté a mi maestra, ¿cómo se dice boyfriend? And she said, novio. Say novio. So when I was in Costa Rica learning Spanish, I asked my teacher, how do you say girlfriend, boyfriend? And you say novia for girlfriend, novio for boyfriend. Then she said, there's another phrase we use down here. And I said, what is it? She said, amigo con derechos. So I was like, amigo's friend, con is with, ¿cómo se dice derechos in English? Rights. Friends with rights. Oh, that's not good. That's not good. So you have your friends that have rights or freedoms over your property. I know we have that here in the United States. You have friends with rights. We're not boyfriend, girlfriend. We're not committed. We're not married. I'm going to give you rights over stuff on a certain time, and I'm going to give him or her rights over stuff at a certain time, and I have friends that I have given rights to. We're not obligated to each other. We've just made side agreements with each other. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yes, I have three of them. There are a lot of people who have an amigo con derechos relationship with Jesus Christ. In other words, you ask Christ to be your Savior, but he is really only a friend with rights. In other words, you are not solely and completely committed to him. You have a side deal. And your side deal is with the devil. In other words, you told Jesus, I'm going to pray to sinner's prayer. I'm going to go to church, and I'm going to call myself a Christian. But I have a side deal with the devil, and my side deal gives the devil freedoms in my life as well. Now, we've been talking about thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The title of the series is called Kingdom Come. And that the power in heaven, the love in heaven, God's will that's in heaven would be expressed on earth through us. And we saw that God created the heavens and earth. He created Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve were given dominion over the earth. And God said, I'm giving you dominion over the fish, the birds, the bees, and everything. I want you to have dominion over the earth. I want you to govern it. I want you to subdue it. I want you to have children. And all you people who are, at the time, no sin, you are going to govern the earth as I would, that my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That was God's plan. And then the devil comes. And we see in chapter 3, the devil deceived Adam and Eve. And something very interesting is going to happen when they deceive Adam and Eve. They are going to make an agreement with the devil. And I'm going to propose to you that every single person in this room, every person in this room has an agreement, a contract, multiple, with the devil. Well, you don't know me. I'm saved. You got agreements with the devil. In other words, there are lies that the devil has said to you that you have said, I agree with you. And therefore, you have obligations. And those obligations have enslaved you. And there's only one way to break those obligations, which we're going to talk about. So let's look. Chapter 3, Adam and Eve are sinless. Everybody with me so far? It says, the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now, let me say this. This chapter is one of the most important chapters in the Bible because the two chapters before it, there was no sin. This is the chapter in the Bible where sin comes into the world. This changes the whole course of history. The whole Bible is in response to this chapter. Now, 2 weeks ago, I taught on this chapter. It was a sermon called Satan's Number One Weapon. We're just going to gloss over it. So that if you want to get that sermon, I got to tell you that is absolutely one of the most important things you need to know, how the devil tempts you every single day. Okay? But we're going to talk about something different in this chapter. It says, verse 2, the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch, lest you die. And then the serpent said to the woman, you will not die. Everyone say, you will not die. Again, the devil's number one weapon, another sermon, but because I'm here, I can't let it go by, is that when you can sin and get away with it. Okay, that's sermon from 2 weeks ago. But that is his number one weapon. And verse 5, God knows in the day you eat, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. The devil's going to tempt you every day. You can do what you want and you can know good and evil on your own without God. But here is the trick. Here's the problem with what's going on here. You have Adam and Eve over here. God said, don't eat from the tree or you'll die. And then Eve is in the garden by herself. Why is she by herself? All the fellas in the house say, hey. One day God makes you. You're the first man. You're the only man on the earth. And God makes you a woman. He gives you the woman. She's naked. You're naked. And God says, make babies. Is that woman ever alone? Can I get amen, fellas? I mean, what was this brother thinking? I'm just telling you what's in the Word of God. The Word of God is good stuff. There's good stuff in here. But because she was alone, she was tempted. If you are surrounded by people who are not walking with God, you are spiritually alone. You are going to be tempted. If you are surrounded by people who are praying for you, who have spiritual discernment, who love Christ, the devil has less opportunity in your life. And if you figure, why is all this bad stuff happening to me? Who are you hanging with? Where are you hanging? I can't tell you how many girls have come to me. I need a man. I need a godly man. I need a godly man. I said, so where do you go? Well, I go to the club. Well, there you go. You're going to get this brother right here. Yo, what's your name, girl? Hey. That's what you're going to get. So, if you eat from the tree, you're going to die. And then she kind of wanders over, and the devil says, that's not true. That's not true. You're not going to die. And you could be like God. So Eve has to make a decision. Is she going to agree to obey God? Or is she going to agree to obey the devil? This is what you go through every single day, all day. God says, bring your Bible to church. Devil says, don't. God says, wake up in the morning and pray. Devil says, sleep in. God says, tithe. Devil says, keep your money. God says, serve. You say, I ain't helping nobody. I ain't helping me. And you go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Can I get amen? You have to agree with one or the other. And there are consequences to who you agree with every single day. Adam and Eve says, verse 6, the woman saw that the tree was good for food, pleasant to the eyes, a tree desirable to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband, and he ate. And the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew they were naked, and sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Verse 8, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called to Adam and said, where are you? And he said, I heard your voice, and I was afraid because I was naked. There's a show out called Naked and Afraid. Boom. It's in the Bible. Naked and Afraid. Does anybody know that show? Does anybody not know that show? Anybody raise your hand? You don't know that show? There's a show on National Geographic, A&E, or whatever, the cable. It's called Naked and Afraid. And they got a guy and a girl, they're butt naked, and they walk around Africa completely naked, trying to survive for like 90 days. They're covered with dirt. They got no clothes on. For real. I mean, they fuzz them out so you can't see this stuff. But they walk around naked for 90 days. I think it's 90 days or 30 days or something like that. And it's called Naked and Afraid. I don't know where they got it, but that's exactly what happened here. So here's Adam and Eve going, we're walking with God. God says, here's how I want you to live. The devil says, God lied to you. Here's how I want you to live. And Adam and Eve decide to make an agreement with the devil. And the agreement is this. We believe you. We don't believe him. So what do you want us to do? All of y'all have agreements. I got agreements. They're bad. You got agreements about how you view yourself. You got agreements of how you view other people. You got agreements how you view white people, black people, Hispanic people. People say they don't see color. Well, if there's no color to see, how do you know you don't see it? Especially if you say, please, by the way, don't ever say that. Don't say that. That is so insulting to people of color. So a person comes up to me and says, I don't see color. So basically, I got this sweet golden brown from my mother and father. You don't see that? Yeah, come on. So you're just ignoring me, right? That's what you're saying? Or are you saying I'm like you? What are you saying? God made me this way, so you're ignoring it. So when you go get a tan, you get a tan because what? So no one can see it? Stupid. You make agreements about yourself. You have agreements about how you see people. You have agreements about how you see your future. You have agreements about how you see your potential. You have agreements about how you view God. Should you bring your Bible to church? Should you read your Bible? Should you pray? Should you give? Should you serve? You have agreements about all, opinions about all of that. And that agreement is either God's word, I agree that I should do it this way, or you have agreed to the devil's version of the story. God, the devil has told some of you, listen, God says, ladies, I love you the way you are. The devil says, no, you got to sleep around to get love. And some of you have said, I agree with you. I'm gonna sleep around. Some of you, if God said, what would it profit you if you gained the whole world and lost your soul? Just work hard every day, be honest, and be satisfied. Devil said, no, you got to have more money than everybody else. So you work your butt off. And you say, I agree with you. And every time you make an agreement, there is a therefore. Because when you say, I agree with you, then he says, here's what you live. Here's how you live. Some of you guys, God told you, honor women. Respect women. Serve women. How many of you single guys in here? Raise your hand. Single guys. How many married guys? How many guys? How many ladies in here? Oh, wow. Hey. That's where the fellas need to be. Guys are missing out. Okay, I'll talk to the five guys in here that are single. Y'all need to get the word out. Get the word out. You should respect women. If you are going to have a marriage that's going to last, you're going to have to serve your wife. So you need to practice by serving your girlfriend. The devil says, forget that. They need to submit to you. Forget one woman. You need to have five. You have to make a decision who you're going to agree. Devil tells you you're dumb. You say, you're right. Devil tells you you got to sleep around. You're right. Devil tells you you got to have money. You're fat and ugly. You're right. And you believe him. Someone told you when you were a kid you were a failure and you believed them and you still believe them. And so you walk around with these agreements with the devil. I agree with you. I agree with you. I'm nothing. I'm ugly. I'm fat. I'm a failure. I'm dumb. God doesn't answer my prayer. Giving money doesn't do any good. Reading my Bible. We read the Bible every single Sunday. Fight time in this building. Fight time East County. Fight time North County. People don't bring the Bible. Oh, can you put the verses on the screen so we... No. It ain't going to happen. Till after I die, it ain't going to happen. Why? We want to make you have a Bible. And some of y'all come here on a regular basis and you know it. Your Bible's sitting up there, right there on your thing. And you're walking out the house. Oh, I should bring a Bible. I know they're going to read from the Bible. And a little voice says, you don't need to bring your Bible. You don't want anything in your hands. You know, it's too heavy. And just, you want to walk free. And you go, yeah, you're right. And you walk right by it. I ain't going to ask you to raise your hand, but I'm looking at you right now because I can see your hands. And you go, and the devil says, you're good. And God says, what are you thinking? Oh, I'll just listen. Oh, yeah, you're superior to all the people I said to read the word. You don't need to do what I tell you to do. This is God talking to you now. And you go, yeah, devil, and it's so subtle. Because you don't need to read the Bible here. Guess what's going to happen tomorrow? You don't need to read it tomorrow. You don't need to read it Tuesday. You don't need to read it Wednesday. And next thing you know, you go 20 years, you never read the Bible. And you claim you're walking with God. And you can do all that God told you to do, yet you have no idea what he said. Devil says, what did God say? I don't know. So the devil has you have all these agreements, these contracts that you have with him. And you actually think you're walking with God. Now, I'm not saying you and God don't have a relationship, but it's an amigo con derechos relationship. He just has part of your life. And if you ask yourself about the agreements of yourself, your friends, your future, your job, your talent, your relationship with God, your relationship with your money, your relationship with your time, your relationship with your career, if you ask about all, and you really ask yourself, what agreements do I have in all those areas, you will find satanic entanglements in all of your life. And you will say, my life is based on a lie. What do I really do that's based on only God's promise without a little contingency plan? Woo! And then when drama comes, you wonder why your life caves in because it was built on a lie. Here's the bad part. That's not even the bad part. The bad part is that when you make the agreement, you place that part of your life under the legal jurisdiction of the devil. In other words, you give him legal permission and authority to care for you. For example, you're someone who sleeps around, guy or girl, don't matter, and the devil tells you, you need to sleep around and have love. You are telling the devil, or pornography, or whatever it is, okay, devil, I agree with you. I am making an agreement that your advice to me that I need to have sex outside of marriage with one person is going to satisfy me. And then by implicitly you say, so what do you want me to do? You just told God, I'm listening to him now. This is my master. And then the devil takes you by the hand and he leads you through hell. That's how it works. And you give him legal jurisdiction to punish you. Legal, what I mean by that, and these references are in your notes, you can read them later, we're going to read one of them. When Adam and Eve sinned, they gave the authority over the earth to the devil. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, he is the prince of the power of the air. The Bible says in Luke chapter 4, Satan said to Jesus himself, if you bow down to me, I will give you all the kingdoms on the earth and the authority, this is devil talking, the authority that was delivered to me in the Garden of Eden. He has the authority. Job chapter 1 and 2, God tells Satan, you can destroy all that Job has. And then the second time, you can touch his body. You just can't kill him. I'm giving you legal opportunity, but there's a limit. When you sin and you agree with the devil, you are saying, devil, I am giving you legal authority over my life. And only by the grace of God does he not kill you. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to read this one example. And all these notes, all these references are in your notes. You can read it later. In this particular, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, in this particular example, the church had a lot of sexually immoral people. Now, I'm going to bet you, I'm going to guess, but I'm not, my opinion is not going to be far off. There's a whole lot of sexual immorality in this room right now. By statistics, half of the guys watch pornography or have. By statistics, 1/6 of the women in here watch pornography or have. By statistics, and that's in the church, by the way, same as in the world. By statistics, pornography is watched more, the most on Sunday than any other day of the week. There's people in here living together. There's people in here cheating on your wife and your husband, and you're possibly here with your mistress. We get phone calls, letters. Pastor, can you talk to my husband? He's in there with his girlfriend at the same service I'm there. I was like, I wish I knew who that was. We just go on and on about all the stuff in here. Now, it's really good you're here. For reals, I really mean that. I'm glad you're here because this is the place that God's going to change your life. But what happens in this church, they were having sexually immoral acts in their church. It was like shameful. And so Paul is going to tell the church, you correct them, you challenge them, you teach them, and if they still are defiant, you kick them out, and you turn them over to the devil for the destruction of the body. In other words, you say, devil, go ahead. Here is your legal right, because they have chosen to agree with you. We can't handle them anymore. Look what it says in verse 4. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, chapter 5, verse 4, 1 Corinthians 5, 4. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, hey man, go ahead. Go ahead. And I've told people over in my life several times, look, if you don't want to follow God, go follow the devil and go for it. Because what's going to happen is you're going to suffer so much that one day you're going to realize that life doesn't work. And then come back. But don't try to have this amigo con derechos relationship where you're saying you're a Christian but you're living over here. Don't be both ways. Just go all the way and the devil will beat you down. Because you are giving him permission to beat you down. I don't know if you watch these pharmaceutical commercials. Pharmaceutical comes from the word pharmakia, which is where we get the word, which is sorcery. Drugs is a way for inviting demons into your life, by the way. You watch these pharmaceutical commercials. You take this pill and you can have a vibrant sex life. Dun, 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 dun. That's all I'll say about that commercial. Well, that part of the commercial. Then they say, at the very end, in the fine print, but they say it out loud, oh, you might experience blindness, deafness, you might be able to go mute and get crippled, then you might die. And I'm thinking, I don't know, honey. I think we may just revert to hugging. I don't know if I'm going to take that pill. I'll hold your hand and walk through the park. That's okay. And then you got these other things. If you have using Voxil, Crexil, Crexil, and if you're experiencing blindness or you can't speak and your hair's falling out and you're impotent and your feet are crawling up, you might have a lawsuit. Have y'all seen those commercials? Yes. So here's what the devil said. By the way, not all drugs are from the devil, but there are drugs that are poison. If there's one piece of medical advice I will give you, and I'm not a doctor, but I'm telling you for real, this is straight wisdom, and it's not rocket science wisdom. I was told it. Whenever you get medicine from any doctor, you should always ask, what are the side effects? Because they'll tell you, here's what they're going to tell you. Hey, this will help you. This will, you know, this will clear up that, blah, blah, blah. Is it really good? And then, and they're all enthusiastic. What's the side effects? Well, see, what happened is if you take too many, you can die. It'll kill you. You go blind. You're paralyzed. You get a stroke. For real. I'm not exaggerating at all. You have to ask that question. So what the devil does is he's going to poison you. Then you say, devil, I want to eat the food you want me to eat. You eat the food, you get sick. Then you say, okay, devil, what do I do? He gives you medicine. That gets you sick. Okay, devil, what else do I do? He gives you more medicine. That gets you sick and you die. It doesn't always happen like that, but it just jacks you up for life. And he just keeps enslaving you because you have contracts. And God is over here saying, whenever you're ready to come to the truth. Now, so what do? You break the contract. Here's cool. Adam had the contract. Adam had the authority. He was deceived by the devil. He gave the authority to the devil. The devil has the authority. You have no authority over the devil by yourself. He has power, which is the ability to do, and he has the authority, which is the permission to do. The great thing is that God said we will never be tempted beyond what we can take. God will always provide us a way out. Thank God. But I want to break the authority. I want to break my agreements with the devil. How many of y'all want to break your agreements with the devil? Amen. So when I was growing up, if in our neighborhood, all the brown people, if we had a date, went out with a girl, we would ask the girl to go with me, go with you. Y'all remember that? Will you go with me? Okay. Now, I grew up was mostly black, and then high school was on a street called Ocean Avenue. On the other side was Malvern. That was all white. So all the white people said, will you go out with me? We would say, will you go with me? It was a very subtle difference, but there was a difference. And so you would have to ask the girl, will you go with me? And so, you know, when you were little, you know, it's a big drama. How are you going to do it? When are you going to do it? Are you going to do it through a friend? And then you would have a talk. Did he ask you to go out with you? He didn't ask me to go out with him. I think he's going to ask me through his friend. I'm waiting for him to ask me to go with him. And then when you were going with this person, you would say, I go with you. Who are you going with? I'm going with Miles. I'm going with so-and-so. But then you would see another girl that you want to go with. But you can't go with this girl until you break up with this girl. So you would talk to this girl and say, I want you to go with me. She said, well, don't you go with her? We didn't say her, with her. Yeah, but you got to break up with her before you go with me, because if you go with her, you can't go with me. You can't go with both of us at the same time. That ain't right. But I know you want to go with me, huh? You think I'm cute, huh? I'll be right back. So you go over here and you try to break up with this girl, but you have to break up with this girl before you go with this girl. You understand me? Because if you go with this girl and you ask this girl to go with you and she finds out you're going with her, you don't legally go with her. That's how we roll. Now, a lot of y'all go with the devil and you want to go with God. You can't. You can't. Can't go with both. God, it doesn't do that. If you go with the devil, you don't go with God. He's like, go ahead. You got your agreements. You have trusted him to take care of you. Because when you tell the devil you agree with him, you are saying, I trust you to take care of me. And if you trust God to take care of you, why do you come? I trust the devil to take care of you. Why do you come here? Because what happens when you come to church is that you hear all this stuff about the way God wants you to live, and they contradict the agreements you have. You go, wait a minute, I already made an agreement to live like this, and you're asking me to live like this. That is your struggle. And you have this contract that you never break, yet you pray over here, and you get caught right back up into it because you never broke the contract. You never broke the agreement. The devil still has authority in your life because you said some prayer, which, by the way, maybe it broke it, maybe not. Or you just had some emotional thing, but you never said, devil, you got to be out of my life. You're trying to play it both ways. I was at a prison doing a video, and I was putting on this orange jumpsuit, and the guy who worked at the prison was in the back room where I was getting dressed. He didn't know who I was, and he just dropped an F-bomb. And, you know, I'm fine, whatever, and we're talking. And so he asked me, so what are you doing? I said, well, I'm a pastor of a church, and I'm making a video. Without even just no blink, no shame, he goes, oh, I'm a Christian too. I'm an usher at so-and-so's church. I was like, really? I said, what's the pastor's name? He told me the pastor's name. I'm thinking, I might call the brother up. And then I meet the pastor at some function random. And I'm like, in my mind, I go, oh, yeah, you're the pastor. I just met one of your ushers. I just ran him. And he cursed. I'm like, I'm confused. By the way, is cursing a sin? Let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth. Okay? Not only cursing, but even gossip. Talking people down. I mean, you shouldn't do it. These guys had agreements. So they have an agreement, but yet God's telling them to live this way. It's conflict. So at some point, you have to decide who your master is. So we're going to practice the agreement. We're going to practice breaking up with the devil. How many of y'all want to break up with the devil? No, you don't. Now, sometimes in services, I say stuff just to make you mad. Matter of fact, I spoke at a Martin Luther King breakfast down here in San Diego, and I told him at the very beginning, this is a community event, a bunch of pastors and politicians, everything, and I told him at the very beginning of the event, my goal is to irritate all of you. I want to irritate you. I want to make you leave here irritated. I want to say, and hopefully I did, to challenge them to say, I'm not living right. I want to live right. Okay? So here's what we're going to do. How many of y'all want to break? How many break up with the devil? Okay. You know what the devil's saying right now? It ain't going to work. I ain't going anywhere with that weak commitment. We'll try it anyway. Read it with me. Oh, by the way, Jesus Christ came, lived in a human body, died and paid the price for Adam's sin. He rose from the dead, and he got back the authority that Adam lost. One of Jesus' names is the second Adam. The first Adam had the authority. He was tricked and gave it to the devil. Jesus came back, died and rose from the dead, and took it back from the devil. Jesus ascended into heaven. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, and he has all authority over heaven and earth and every principality and dominion. And those who believe in him, who are one with Christ, who ask Christ to come into their life, he says, this authority over the devil you have access to. If you do not have Christ in your life, you are 100% completely helpless. You can do self-help tapes. You can work harder. You can get all kind of body waxing, lose weight, get new hair, new teeth, new breath, new whatever. You are still enslaved because it's spiritual. The only thing that can overcome the strong man is a stronger man, and the strongest man is Jesus and his authority. So you have to have Christ for this prayer to mean anything. Okay, so let's read it, and then we're going to give it. For all y'all who don't have Christ, we're going to give it to you. Let's read it out loud. And by the way, there's no magic in these exact words. The whole point is that you are saying to the devil, in Jesus' name, with his authority, I break my contract. We're breaking up. That's the big picture. Y'all got that? I'm breaking up. So you have this boyfriend, this girlfriend, and you say, I don't have nothing to do with you no more. By the way, for all of us who've been dating someone for a long time, you know when you break up with them, you still got them in your head. Yes? For all y'all who haven't dated for someone for long, maybe that's why you don't not say anything. But when you date someone for a long time, you get them in your head. And you go over the house, you have routines about everything you do, and then you break up and they're not there anymore, but you still have them in your head. You still have them in your body. They're part of your life. You have to take time before they get out of your system. Same way with the devil. You have come accustomed to saying things and living a certain way. It's one thing to take the brother out of the ghetto. It's another thing to take the ghetto out of the brother. Repeat with me. In Jesus' name. Say it like you mean it. In Jesus' name. I break all agreements and contracts I've made with the devil. In Jesus' name. I break the power of evil spirits involved in my life. In Jesus' name. I command you out of my life. I agree with all my heart to follow Jesus Christ. Amen, 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 amen. What does that mean? For some of you, absolutely nothing. Because if you have no relationship with Jesus Christ, We're going to give you the opportunity here in a minute. For others of you, if by faith you believed it, the devil just went, but he's coming back. He's like, oh, okay. But I assure you, before you leave this room, he's going to be whispering in your ear again. And you got to keep saying, in Jesus' name, I rebuke you. I'm not watching pornography when I get back to the room. I'm not sleeping with my boyfriend when I get back to the room. I'm not getting high tonight. You have authority. You have to know that. And you have to aggressively resist it and command him gone. Not ask, command. Not ask, command. Be gone. It is a daily battle, but on a spiritual level. In a minute, we're going to pray. And then we're going to ask you to come forward. I'm telling you now, I'm going to lead you in a prayer where you are going to basically say that, but you are going to surrender your life to Christ, and you're going to say, Lord, I access all the authority I have to break all agreements in my life, and then I'm going to ask you to stand, and then I'm going to ask you to come forward. And I'm going to tell you now, while I'm doing this, you're going to hear a voice say, you just did that. You don't need to go down there. You prayed. You're fine. You don't need to go down there. All these people are going to look at you. You're going to hear all this stuff in your head. And some of you are going to go, yeah, I'll just sit here. And then the next day, when God tells you to do something, same thing. Devil say, you don't need to do that. And you'll say, yeah, I'm just going to sit here. And then before you know it, you're back to where you started. So this is opportunity number one to say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to do what you want me to do. I'm not listening to that guy anymore. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness. Lord, you have given us all authority in heaven and on earth and even over the devil in our life, over demons, over temptation, the lust of the flesh, the lust of our eyes, the pride of life. And we need to surrender our life to you and break up with the devil. We need to break up and sever our relationship with the devil. If you are ready to break up with the devil, if you are ready to destroy all relationship and submit your life to Christ and pledge your allegiance, your spiritual allegiance to Jesus Christ, I want you to pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, I trust that Jesus died for my sin. I believe he rose from the dead. And I believe he has all authority in heaven and earth. Jesus, I surrender my life to you. I pledge my allegiance to you. I submit myself to you. And I make agreement to serve you and you only. And Jesus, with the authority you have made available to me, in Jesus' name, I break all agreements with Satan. All agreements with evil, all agreements with my selfish desires, my fear. I break those agreements in Jesus' name. And I come to the Lord asking for mercy. Thank you, God. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, in a minute I'm going to ask you to stand. And by standing, you are pledging your allegiance to Christ. You are saying, yes, I prayed that prayer. I break all agreements with Satan in my life. And when I ask you to stand, you're going to hear a voice say, you don't need to stand. Here's your first test. Who are you going to believe? Are you going to stand for Christ in public, or are you going to listen to that little liar? So right now, eyes closed, heads bowed. If you prayed that prayer, I'm going to ask you, wherever you are on all the campuses, stand to your feet and acknowledge your faithfulness to God. God bless you. 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 God bless you.